Welcome, everyone, to the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and joining me, as always, is your co-host, Kaplek, or whatever. Yeah, I don't know how you say Jim Klingon. What is your Klingon name?
It's Sahut.
Sahut.
Yeah.
I keep saying I want to get the Klingon, guide to Galactic Klingon or whatever, so I can learn Klingon, because Nicole knows French, and I want to just mess with her.
Yeah, Sahut means buttocks in Klingon.
And
then my ship actually means ship of idiots.
And wow.
Yeah, so it's like for anybody that's, you know, wise out there's playing the game.
There is not much honor in your name, or
not so much. No.
What are you, son of? The rechts, idiot, son of moron. I mean, is that your Klingon?
Son of stuff. Yeah. Well, I wanted to, basically, all right. I'm playing this game because I wanted to find out if it still sucked, and it really doesn't so much suck because when you're a Federation guy, beaming down to a planet and killing 5,000 fuckers on the planet doesn't really feel very Federation. But when you're a Klingon, that is perfectly acceptable to me. That's kind of the way it's supposed to be, in fact.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll try Star Trek Online again. I tried it a while back as the Federation, because I do love the Federation.
Now
but
I have two dogs. Heck
maybe
yeah.
I'll try the Romulans. I do love the Romulans quite a bit. A little more into Klingons. I do love the Klingons too. So, guys, as we record this, it is 2 days before the big day for anyone who isn't Jewish or
Klingmas
or whatever, or whatever other religion you might follow, or just not American. It is 2 days before Christmas as we record this, and as we record this, the big Steam sale is on. So I thought for this week's show we could talk about sales, we could talk about deals, we could talk about all sorts of stuff. We could talk about how we feel about the current sale and do sales, like how sales have changed the landscape of gaming, because they really, really have. Because I was just thinking about this the other day. Remember, I worked at EB? Remember them? Remember
Electronics
Boutique? Yeah, I worked at one back in 2003, a year or two before they got merged with GameStop. And I remember they had a pretty, you know, even then they had a pretty pretty good PC game section. And I remember like one of the first times I went to EB was like in the late 80s, and it was like astounding. But now because you don't need to worry about boxes and you don't need to worry about shelf space and all that stuff, except unless you're Target or Walmart, there's all kinds of shit. But there are downsides too, because I think we get a little deluged with sales and with bundles. And when a big sale like this comes around, and not only that, but it's 3 weeks after their quote-unquote fall sale.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, man. It's like so short of a time. I don't know, man. I'm not feeling it, you know. Because the sale is no different this time. It is the same sale. It's just longer. You know, they didn't do anything unique this time because they've already, it's like they had the trading cards come in. They started the deal where, you know, because the sale used to just be a sale, and then it became gamey, right?
Yeah.
And there was like tricks to whatever, and now there's just not so much. You know, it's just what it is.
Yeah. Now it's all about gems and getting gems and trading cards. It's like I just want sales, and I gotta say I'm usually a glutton for these sales. I actually set up aside part of my monthly budget for the sale, and so far I've bought two things. I have bought Microsoft Flight Simulator X 10 and Saints Row 2. I mean four, Saints Row 4. But that's it. There really hasn't been anything else that has grabbed my attention. You've gotten a lot more than me, though, I think. You've gotten a bunch.
Yeah, I invested in a lot of roguelikes this year,
right?
Because I'm kind of into that. So I mean, there was stuff, but there's other things that you don't usually see happening on sale, like, see, Panzer Corps, right, for like $8, I think I paid for it.
I almost jumped on that.
Yeah, well, it's Panzer General, right? It's like the rebirth of, which is a good game. And it's got the deal where, you know, you take units mission to mission. And it's essentially, you know, that Warhammer 40,000 game that just came out. It's the same game. Yeah. It's just the World War II version. Yeah, the original.
Right.
Yeah, I was listening to a Three Moves Ahead podcast, and they were talking about the Company of Heroes expansion that just came out for Company of Heroes 2, where it's actually got like a dynamic campaign in it, and you also carry units, you know, mission to mission, which is a new thing. And it made me want it, like, way bad. But it's $40.
Yeah.
And I can wait.
Yeah. you know? That's definitely one I've been keeping my eye on because of the nonlinear.
Yeah. I'm waiting on it to drop, but it's not moving. So.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, hey, let's talk Mecha Game Junkie for just a minute. Because Armored Hunter, what's the full name of this? Armored Hunter Gunhound EX is a cool mech game. And it was cheap. It was like a couple bucks. It's normally $15. So
yeah, see, the only strategy I follow in the sale is if it's not a daily sale, wait till the last day. So
right.
I've got a few things.
Because if it goes daily, it's never going to get cheaper.
It's not going to get cheaper if it goes on a flash sale, or a flash sale or a daily sale.
Yeah.
Cloud and Twitch mentioned Nuclear Throne, which you both own, I believe, already.
Oh, yeah, I got that already. So
that game is hard as balls.
It is, isn't it?
But it's fun. It's so good, but it's so hard.
I did a lot of 99-cent game shopping this time around.
Really?
I was picking up the indies that went, like, way down in the basement. Yeah. Like the Dungeon Siege games, all three of them for $3. Done.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, okay. The only problem is multiplayer is busted. But there is a workaround for that, apparently. You have to kind of hack at it a little bit. What else did I do here? I got, Astbreed, which is another mecha game. It's like a bullet hell mecha shooter thing.
Yeah. I did see that.
That's a lot of fun. I would suggest that. Let's see. Looking at the list of stuff here. So, and I picked up Sun Age, Battle for Elysium, because it's a game that's been in development since 97, 98. It's an RTS, and it looks like an old-school RTS, but it's completely upgraded to modern, you know, resolution and everything. So it's pretty cool there. And I kind of like that style of game. You don't see it very often anymore. The pure things like StarCraft. So it was that. And the Rise of Nations got really cheap.
I saw that was $4.
The one thing you're going to really appreciate that I bought is Star Wars Empires at War.
Yeah, the gold one. We're going to talk about that because that's on the big list. That's on the list of games that's for sale.
Yeah, that's pretty all right. Also, multiplayer busted. So you have to play it on Game Ranger.
Oh, yeah, but it is available on Game Ranger, right?
Yep.
That's nice.
That is how it is.
Right.
So
it's interesting. I'm looking through the list of if you guys haven't seen, we have a couple of buyer's guides on Space Game Junkie. And the sad thing is a lot of the early access games, there are two lists. There's a list for games that are finished, and there's a list for games that are in early access. And, like, none of the early access games are really on sale, you know? Like, none of them.
And nor should they be, because they're not even
released. Yeah, that's true.
So I really don't want them on sale yet.
That's true. But right now there are some, like, amazing values in here. Like Tacky on the Fringe is $3.39.
Oh, wow.
Guys, seriously, that one, that's a great.
Does it hold up pretty well?
Yeah, I was playing it the other day, even with the gamepad. I was just testing it out with a gamepad, and it's fun. I mean, the graphics are a little old, sure, but at the same time, the gameplay is still solid. And Bruce Campbell,
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
there's some of that.
Look at Bruce Campbell. But the gameplay is still pretty solid. Evercrown Mercenary is also on sale. $17.49 right now. I'm waiting for a deeper sale because I already own it. I want it on Steam, but I already own it, so it'd have to go lower for me to double dip.
Yeah.
You know? Even though now with Elite, I don't even know. Let's see. Albion Prelude, X3, that's $5. And yeah, you gotta get it with Terran Conflict, but that's $10. Mm. That's a good deal right there if you want that kind of businessy side of space simming. Let's see. Wasn't Sins of a Solar Empire in a daily a little while back?
Yeah, I did see it in there. It was kind of cheap. But was that Sins Rebellion, or was it just Sins Normal Trilogy?
I think it was Rebellion, because Rebellion right now is $14, which is pretty good. But you can get – it's been cheaper. It's definitely been cheaper. Apparently, the – lowest price was earlier this year on Steam. It was $7.99 back in June. That was the lowest price. What else we got? Yeah, Star Wars Empire War, which you just got, which is just nice and cheap. Wait, $13.39? Why?
Which one?
Star Wars Empire War, I thought it was cheap.
Oh, yeah, no, it was $13.
Oh.
But that's like as low as it's gotten, so.
Oh, actually, it was $6 back in May. Just saying. Yeah, you should get Enhanced Steam. If no one has, if everyone's using Chrome, or any browser really, that isn't IE, get the Enhanced Steam plugin. I'm not even kidding. It is like the best freaking thing ever in the history of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that thing will tell you like its historic lowest price. Now, Nexus, this is a bargain, man. Nexus you can get for $3. Nexus the Jupiter Incident.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
That's,
I was streaming it last week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. And it's still as hard as balls. Very satisfying, but very difficult. Very. Yep. Still beautiful, though. You know? That game is. Okay, Steam has a release date of 2004. I thought it was 2006. Okay, so that game is 10 years old. It's a beautiful game. You know, 10 years later even. It is a gorgeous game. Again, people, hard as balls. Balls. There are 12 people playing it right now.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great. That's great. I wonder if people still play multiplayer. You probably can.
Oh, so you're just looking at the Steam list of who's playing?
Well, no. Another thing that Enhanced Steam does is it adds current players, how many people are playing now and
wow.
What today's peak is. Like right now it's telling me that 58 people are playing the next game I was talking about, the original Sword of the Stars, which is the much better game, you know. And you can get the original game, the entire thingamajig, the whole collection, all the expansion, everything, $2.50. That's amazing.
Wow.
You get a fuck ton of games. You can actually get both games for $6.24. If you want the second one, I guess, sure, but I say go with the first one, don't you? Wouldn't you think so?
I'm sorry, I was bird of praying.
You bird of praying?
Yes, I was trying to not run off the map. So which game are you talking about?
Sword of the Stars.
Oh, yeah, Sword of the Stars. Skip the second one. I didn't like it at all. I couldn't get
into it either.
But the first one, get the full meal deal.
Which I'm saying is $2.49.
Oh, yeah. If you don't get that, you don't like games. That's
yeah.
That's
if you don't get that, you're not a space game fan. Seriously. I need to play.
The only thing that sucks about it, I like to play it in the flat galaxy because I just don't dig the 3D map.
Oh, that's all it is, right?
I'm not into it.
That's all it is 3D, right?
Well, if you do the flat one, it makes it more 2D. It's not like a globe or a cloud of planets. It's, you know, it keeps them sort of on the plane of the ecliptic. They have a little bit of variance, but not, you know.
See, there's the thing. That game came out when I was taking a break from gaming, and I never really played much of it. And I should. I know I should. In fact, I have it installed. It's just waiting for me to play it. I'm a little intimidated because I keep hearing how amazing it is, and I don't want to be let down, you know. But I really should dive in. Okay, let's see. Drox Operative right now is on sale, you guys, for $10. And the expansion is $5. Oh, guys, you got to get that. $15 for Drox Operative, amazing game.
Oh, yeah, that's good time.
That's a very good time. If you all don't know what Drox Operative is, it's a little hard to explain. It's like you're inside a 4X game that other people are playing, that the computer is playing, basically, and you're a ship. You're like a mercenary. That's basically like, imagine like the computer is playing Master of Orion the entire thing, and you're one ship just tooling around. That's basically what that game is. And it works. It works so well. Starpoint Gemini 2 is kind of on sale. $23 right now. I don't think it's been on a daily, or maybe it has been. I can't even fucking remember. Wait a minute.
You know, one thing that bothers me, though, that I've seen in the sale, what's that game that they were in development and then they just dumped it? And
Starbase DF9?
No, not that one. There was another one. It was like a couple years ago. It was it's a 4X space thing with 3D ships and stuff. It was there was something Pegasus was one of them.
Oh, Legend of the Pegasus.
Yeah, that one. And then there was another one as well. And I saw it on Steam in the sale, and I'm like, wait. And that's one thing that I noticed early on in the sale is a lot of the things that went on sale initially, when you look at the approval ratings, they're very low. And it's like, yeah, so I think in the rush, like they're saying, oh yeah, well, anybody that's gonna just jump in here and start buying stuff day one, we're gonna, you know, use that moment of impulse buying to shovel some shit or something, because it wasn't good.
You're not wrong. You're absolutely not wrong. It's a shame because that game had potential, but it just kind of fizzled and went nowhere.
Yeah. It was Legend of the Pegasus, and then I cannot remember what the other one was.
There was another one. I know what you're talking about. I know exactly. I can't remember the name for the life of me because it was so. Well, hang on. I have a list on the wiki. Hang on. I should try and look at that. It's mostly up to date. Let's see. So it was probably about 2011, 2012. Gemini Wars.
Yes,
that's the other
one. That's the one.
That was the other one that went freaking nowhere. Yeah, both 2012 games. And they both kind of went nowhere. Camel 101 is now doing another game, Mercs and Mechs or something. But they kind of moved on from Gemini Wars really fast. And it's really kind of not worth playing. Don't play that one. Oh, you know what else is a good deal? Space Rangers HD, A War Apart. $5.
So with Space Rangers HD, because there was Space Rangers and Space Rangers 2.
Yes.
So that's Space Rangers 1, right?
Well, no, here we go. Space Rangers and then Space Rangers 2, and then there was Space Rangers – there was an expansion to Space Rangers 2. Space Rangers HD includes everything plus new shit.
Oh, really?
It's everything that was in the original and the expansion, Space Rangers 2 and the expansion – plus a new like pirate storyline, a new and you could actually play pirates, so it's a new faction even, a new soundtrack, just lots of new additions. Actually, the Steam page might say what's new about it, but yeah, lots of new pirate subplot, widescreen monitors, new soundtrack, new text adventures, new government missions, new events.
How much is that thing?
$5.
Oh, five.
$5. If you guys don't own Space Rangers HD, A War Apart.
Yeah, because I own Space Rangers 2, but I don't have that one, so it sounds like I need to get that done.
You need to get it. It's really, you can play, you can get lost in that game for weeks. I did when it first came out.
Is the ground combat dumb, or is it okay?
The ground combat is dumb, but you can skip it entirely. Like when you're doing the initial early tutorial stuff. They'll say, "Oh, you can do this, and you get extra money and experience, or you can just never do it again."
Yeah.
And get sues. I never want to do this, and you will never see. You think you can't skip or text missions? There are text adventures in the game. You remember that, right?
Yeah.
But you can't skip those. But they're kind of awesome. They're kind of hilarious. So, But apparently now you can join the – in this version, you can actually join the pirates. I'm still not sure how to do that, but apparently you can do that. So – and there's a, just a lot new. There's a lot new. Actually, look at this. This is part of the 1C Space Collection. Check this out.
Mm.
You get not only Space Rangers of War Apart, but Parkan 2 – all three Star Wolves games. No, Parkan 2 is great.
Oh, my God.
All three Star Wolves games, which are also very good. And then you get one shitty game, The Tomorrow War. Awful. And then two mediocre games. But look at this. $8.74 for all that. That's actually, folks, a really good deal.
That's kind of cheap for... But, oh, man. Parkan 2.
3, 4, 5.
You know, I've tried to get into Space Wolves. I can't. I just can't.
Eight games.
I can't make it happen.
It is a bit of. Well, it's got that Eastern European charm, as I like to say.
Charm's a word.
While Parkan 2 is much more Russian, so that's it's a little funky. I love Parkan 2 a lot.
I didn't dig the whole ground thing that was going on in there. The first person shooter elements.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was definitely not my thing.
I'm sorry. That stinks. Sorry I didn't enjoy it. But hey, folks, if you're not like Jim, and you might like Parkan 2 or the Star Wars games, that's actually a really good deal. I mean, Space Rangers is excellent. Parkan 2, I think, is great. The Star Wars games are a lot of fun. I mean, you're getting a lot of value for your dollar there. You know, that 1C Space Collection, that's amazing. $8.74. Holy shit. So, yeah, I can't say enough good things about that. That's damn. I'm getting to Ring Runner, Cloud Vault. Don't you fret. I'm getting to Ring Runner. I think. Let me just make sure. Well, let's talk about that next. Yeah, Ring Runner. You've heard me talk about this game, right, Jim?
Mm-hmm. I own it.
Oh, yeah. It's a great game. I mean, there's a lot of content here. I don't know if anyone – is anyone playing it multiplayer right now? Oh, 11 people are playing it. 18 – that's for a little indie game? That's not terrible.
Not bad at all. Have you seen Eric's new thing, the Paper Dungeons deal?
Yeah, I helped kickstart that. Absolutely. I totally backed that.
Wow.
No question. Oh, yep. Yeah.
That's looking pretty nice. He's also working on a thing – is it them? No, it's Puppy Games that's doing the other one. It's like a almost like a it's a survival horror kind of game, but done in Puppy Games style. So
I think I know what you're talking about. But yeah, right now Ring Runner, if you guys don't own it, is $2.49. That's a steal, because the single player campaign alone is massive and funny and well written. And there's also multiplayer. There's like a full-blown MOBA in there, you know, plus all kinds of other multiplayer shit. So there's lots of stuff to do in there. And $2.49, you get a lot of value for your dollar there. Or you can – oh, my God. The four-pack is $7.49. If you wanted to gift three copies to your friends, that's super cheap. That makes it $1.88 per copy.
Hmm.
That's crazy. So, Jim, have you played Really Big Sky?
I own that because you gave it to me, and I think that I played it for a moment there, but not a lot. So, yeah.
That's a really great arcade shooter. Dynamically great.
Because I keep it installed because I'm like, oh yeah, when I hook my controller up next time, I need to play this. Because you have to have a controller for that thing is what I found out real quick. So.
Right. Yeah, you do. I also have it on the Vita. It's excellent on the Vita, by the way. So, Space Pirates and Zombies. Did you see the trailer?
For the new one?
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
It just came out the other day. Oh, yeah, there's a new trailer for it.
Oh, I was not aware.
Great. But the original one, I mean, this game has gotten so cheap, I swear to God. Actually, it's at its current lowest price of $1.99.
Wow.
It's the lowest, apparently, it has ever been. And Cloud in the stream agrees with you that Puppy Games is a great company. But yeah, Space Pirates and Zombies, for $2, that's a fucking lot of gameplay right there. And Spaz 2 is in the works. That'll be out in 2015, I think, which is something we'll probably talk about next week. Wow, 137 people are playing Spaz right now.
Oh, wow.
That game came out 3 years ago. That's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Came out 3 fucking years
ago. Yeah, and it goes on sale, and it's, like, tremendously cheap every time it does.
Yeah, it's like everybody should fucking own that by now.
Yeah.
Fucking everybody. Zigfrak, I don't know if y'all have played that, but that's
Zigfrak
basically
is a good time.
Zigfrak is a very
a
good time.
Good time.
It's a crazy ARPG in space with lots of humor. And
it's very colorful. And, a lot of particle effects.
Very colorful and very chaotic, but a lot of fun. And right now that's $3, and that's a lot of fun. Actually, did you see he announced the developer announced an expansion for it?
No.
It's called Backyard Barbecue.
Nice.
Yeah, I know. And let's see what's coming. Let's see. It doesn't say what the features are yet, but apparently, here we go. We're gonna have dual spec weapons. We're gonna have pets, achievements, and more. I don't know when that's coming out. I don't know if it's gonna be free for existing players. Hang on. I can't tell if it's gonna be free for existing players or not. But even if it's not, it's probably not going to be that expensive. The game itself is not that expensive.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, Zigfrak, guys, seriously, that is a really good time. And the final game that's on my list that is on sale, if you don't own it, you're ridiculous, is Faster Than Light, the game that gives me panic attacks every time. No question. I get an anxiety attack because I see my people dying. And I feel empathy for them.
So, I've seen some people that made mods for that thing where they put like big ships in it and stuff.
Yeah, there are lots of mods for FTL, which is great. There's one mod where you're just exploring and the rebels aren't chasing you, which is kind of nice. I mean, it takes kind of the urgency out of the game. You can just fly around and stuff. You know, but I gotta say that, like we were saying earlier, the sale is just. Bleh.
Yeah, I mean it's not super exciting, but then again, we own half of what's on there anyway, right?
That's the thing. When they started doing these big sales, my game list is like if you really want to shame yourself, guys, install Enhanced Steam and then go to your account, and it'll tell you how much it estimates you've spent. On your Steam account.
Yeah, but it estimates full price.
I know, but it's still sobering. It's still quite sobering. I know it estimates full price, but like, wow, it goes all the way back to your first transactions from all the way back to whenever. It's pretty amazing. But yeah, if you wanna like get a real splash of cold water in your goddamn face, do that because. It'll make you stop playing buying games for a while, but yeah, I mean there haven't been any like big huge like oh my god I have to jump on that right now. Like I got Saints Row 4 because everyone was telling me how great it was, and I'm like, you know, we just had the Volition guys on, I should throw them some dollars, you know, I should throw them some coin, so I'll get Saints Row 4 at a drastically reduced price. And I gotta say, I like it. But yeah, I mean, the sale, like right now, Just Cause, $2.99. Wow, that game has been on sale, I think, more than I've breathed breaths. It's at its historic low. So that's something. But the same thing is like the problem with these sales is if you're like me or Jim, even, we're collectors, right? And so we just keep adding. To our piles of games in the hopes that one day we'll retire and have time to play all this. But
well, I've sort of got that right now, right? Because I only work 3 days a week.
Yeah,
and that's a thing of beauty. But
it really is.
But unfortunately, then I've figured out how to fill all my damn time and keep myself from playing games. So
playing Elite.
No. Well, you know, so I took the PR thing on, right? And that's still going on. And then I've also spun up this other website, which is not ready for prime time yet. But it's about – the reason that I went into the whole PR thing, that adventure, was because we had so many indie devs on here, and they're all like, well, how do we promote our game? And we were always like, well, shit, we don't know. We're asking you. So I thought, well, you know, I'll walk a mile in those shoes and see what I learn. Oh, I have learned a lot. Did you know, so something that I discovered this week is that Greenlight is horribly broken.
Yes.
But whenever you get on Greenlight, they have bundles that you can get in, and the bundle will be I don't even want to mention the site that does it because I despise them, but you can buy a bundle of like 10 games for $1, and none of them are greenlit. So you're buying them in the hope that they will get greenlit and you get the Steam codes. So
I've
that,
seen these bundles.
Yeah,
sure.
So what this means is basically, hey, we're going to give you these games for almost free if you go greenlight them, because obviously if you bought that thing, you're going to go greenlight all of them, right? And then I've seen stuff. I was cruising through the Steam groups and that, and looking at, you know, how other people are promoting their games and that. And I saw a couple of games in there that it opened a rabbit hole that I went down, and I was just like, oh my God, because there are games that are just like, if you vote yes on our green light and comment, we're going to take everybody that commented and just hand them a free copy of the game when we get greenlit. Huh. And it's like, what? that's just a little dirty to me.
It's a little desperate.
You're taking that initial thing, you know, 'cause you're buying votes, right? Essentially. But you're taking the initial hit of, you know, let's say it takes like 5,000 votes to get on Steamlight or whatever, or Greenlight. So you're giving up potentially 5,000 sales of people that said that they would have liked the game enough, right? But you're getting a lot of people to vote that probably wouldn't, but hey man, free game, why not? It takes me, you know, 2 seconds to go click yes, so why wouldn't I, right? So I think it's, I don't know, it just distorts the system. That's the thing. So you're not getting people that vote because they actually like the game. You're just getting people that vote because, hey, give me a game or whatever. And what else is funny, there's a Steam group that is dedicated to just begging for games. People go in there and they're like, oh, I wish I had a copy of Saints Row 4. And then somebody will just hand it to them. Huh. It's like, what?
Why?
So, I don't know. It's just
The goodness of their heart?
Well, like if somebody had it laying around or something, I do not know. There's like this whole trade in Steam keys that it's really weird. And then the bundle sites, right? So as a developer, you can go on and just get as many Steam keys as you want, you know? So it's like, well, give me 10,000 keys. And I guess, you know, Steam emails you a spreadsheet or whatever they do. And at that point, then you hand that to a bundle site, and then they can sell them. Well, they didn't pay anything for them. So that's just straight profit. I always thought that they had to split the money with Steam. No. So I was just like, wow. So I'm discovering this whole alternate business model that feels really weird, and it doesn't feel good for the industry at all. That's the thing that bothers me. It's just like, God, are we looking at another game crash? Because you saw what went on in mobile devices, right? It was a race to 99 cents. And I don't want to see the entire video game market race into the 99 cent bargain bin. And when you look at games that come out brand new and they're $60 now, because console games, every console game is $60. But you know, when something new comes out and it's $60, it's pretty wild. You know, you look at that and you're like, oh God, you know, I'm not $60 because I'm used to getting my games for $15. But you know, if you wait 6-8 months, it'll be on Steam for $20 or whatever. And there's new games that are in this sale that are 50% off, and they're less than like 4 months old. And I'm like, oh my God, what? So, you know, I don't mind, like, you know, wait a year or something, and whenever sales taper off or whatever, yeah, go ahead, drop the price down. But I'm just surprised that any developer would be like, yeah, I'm going to chop my game price 50% in a sale. Because once you establish that pattern of behavior, why would I ever buy your game at new price unless I had to absolutely have it, you know, right then? So... Mm. Yeah.
Well, then what do you do? What do you do to combat that? What do you do? Do you make a game that's so good it transcends?
You know what you do to combat that, unfortunately? Freemium. That's what you do. You give the game away for free, and then you charge for everything in it. That's how you do it. Look what I'm playing right now, Star Trek. And I'm not the guy that's going to spend the money in here, right? Because I'm just dicking around with it. I just wanted to get a bird of prey and fly it around. I'm desperately trying to find somewhere that I can actually fight without having to do this mission, because the mission's a ground mission and I really don't want to do it. And nobody seems to be playing the multiplayer PvP in here right now. But anyways, yeah, so, you know, you go freemium with it, basically. And I'm, you know, or just, like, have the game cheap, but then have a bunch of DLC afterwards, which is almost the same thing, right? But I was talking to a buddy of mine at work, and he started playing Rift, right, which is an MMO you can get on Steam, and it's a damn good MMO. It's a lot of fun, and it's been around for years, so they've got the bugs worked out, and they're just adding, like, cooler. Oh, cool. Oh, sweet. Do I get to fight? Thank God. So I got a distress call finally. But anyways, yeah, so I have absolutely no idea what I was saying. What? Oh, yeah, he was playing Rift.
Rift.
And and he's like, "Yeah, well, I bought the whatever and, you know," and he's going down like this list of shit that he bought, and you don't have to buy the content in the game. You can play the whole damn game end to end, never spend a dime, right?
Yeah, sure.
However, I was like, "Well, how far into this are you that, you know, you spent?" And he's like, "I don't know, probably $300. I'm like, "Damn, you know, they love you, man." And
it's similar with Lord of the Rings Online, apparently. Like, you can play the base game for free, but the expansions apparently add enough that people buy them, and apparently they sell quite well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's working well for Turbine, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, as long as it keeps the games flowing, right? I mean, you know, what are you going to do? But I don't know. It's just the industry's in a really weird place right now. And especially with indie devs. Oh, I'm killing some Borg. Well, it's time. So, Star Trek. And so, I bought, speaking of Star Trek and Birds of Prey, why I'm in the Bird of Prey mood, right, is I got to turn the sound down on this because, wow. There we go. All right. So, the Bird of Prey thing. I went on Amazon and I got that Bird of Prey Haynes manual.
Because
Jones
so
like, "What do you want for Christmas?" I'm like, "God, I don't know. You know, I can't find anything." And then I saw that and I was like, "Okay, that's it." And it was like $20, right? But I had so much Amazon credit stored up because we just buy everything on there now because, you know.
Yeah,
it's like
why
household
not?
Whatever. Well, I got Prime, right? And it's free shipping and whatever. So
exactly.
It's like, you know, it's like, well, we're not going to buy toilet paper or whatever on there. But it's like, oh, you know, you need a chair, something like that. You know, it's like, yeah, just get it on Prime because it's cheaper. That's probably the cheapest price you're going to find, better than retail. And it's free shipping and it'll be here in 2 days. So done. All right. But anyway, so I'm not sure what percentage it is that I get a kickback on that. And honestly, I should be clicking your link every time I buy something, but I forget to because I got ad block on, so I never see it when I go to the site. Yeah, because I'm a dirty bastard. I don't even fund ourselves. That's how terrible I am. But yeah. But anywho, it's pretty good. So I get a kickback of some percentage. And I had like $30 that was on there. So, oh God, what has just happened? A giant Borg penis just warped in. It's like some kind of, wow, I've never seen anything like that before. It's like a Borg Titan from Eve. That can't be good.
Fun. No,
that
anything.
Be good.
Anything from Eve.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it looks that. Ooh, God, now it's all glowing green and talking to me. That's bad.
I really hope I got that Klingon Bird of Prey book for Christmas. I really, really want it.
Well,
like,
did you
badly.
Show it to anybody?
Oh, it's almost at the top of my wish list on Amazon.
Oh, really? So you already had it on there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. As soon as someone told me about it, I'm like, holy shit, I need that. Oh, my God. Why? And why hasn't someone made a Defiant version of that, for God's sake? Someone make a Defiant Haynes manual. Someone in the chat says Borg penis sounds like a terrible date.
It's, dude, this thing, wow.
It looks like another body part. Oh, wow, so, you just...
Oh, I took it in the face, man. Like, how many torpedoes did it hit me with? I actually got achievement unlocked for getting eaten alive by torpedoes.
You got hurt pretty badly there.
Yeah, it's cool. My shield's kind of back up now.
I honestly just can't see myself even playing this right now because of Elite Dangerous.
Yeah, it's like I just wanted to dick around with this just to see if it still sucked. But, oh, God, I'm so dead. But anyway, I mean, stuff like this, dude, I would do this all day if it was, like, always the starship battles and they didn't put me on.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I stopped playing it is because it's the ground shit. I don't give a fuck about the ground. I don't want to do away team missions. I'm the captain. That's what the other people are for. I want to stay in the...
Yeah. Oh, my homies actually killed that thing somehow.
I saw, but you got blowed up along with it.
I did, but I got to respawn, because good Klingons never die. It was a bad day to die, whatever.
No, good Klingons do die. That's part of the point, I thought, of being a good Klingon, is that you know that it is a good day to die.
Right, but today was not it, so I respawned.
Oh, today was not a good day to... I see.
Yeah. Okay. Today's a good day to respawn. So... Anyway,
Nate in the chat says,
"Oh my God,
Star
another
Trek
one!"
Online, Star Trek without all that talking and plot stuff.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, great. That's
all I want.
The thing is, I kind of want. That's kind of what I want. I want. I want like. Oh, I want to be able to. I want to ferry a diplomat from one place to another and be part of a murder intrigue or something. I mean, Star Trek isn't really supposed to be about combat, but I guess if you're the Dominion or the Klingons or the anyone but the Federation, I guess.
Yeah.
I
got a buddy that just warped in here. That's nice. I've also been playing a lot of Klingon Academy, and
I got to set up voice attack for that. You should too.
Yeah, I definitely should. You know, they need a Klingon voice for text-to-speech. Why isn't there such a thing?
I did try that. I got the British one that you talked about, and I can't get it set up right. Like I said, landing. I said lights, and it turned on the landing gear. So I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, you know why? Is because he's got the key mapped wrong in the file. He's got L for lights. You'll run into that on a few things that his key definitions are not quite.
Well, also voice attack isn't like doing it right for me. Like I'm saying thrust at 50%, and it's instead of saying the word 50%, it's showing the number, and that apparently isn't right.
Oh no! Well, if you say 50%, right, it'll recognize that. But he's actually got 50% as the master command, and then there's like 10 different things you can say that are equivalent to that, and they. What happens is that's like the main macro that it calls, so it's off limits. You can't say it because it's actually
How do you map it to your joystick? So if you say something like half impulse, it goes.
I have absolutely no idea. What do you mean? Like it changes something on the joystick?
It'll change your speed. It'll change your speed if you say half impulse. It'll put
Okay. So basically, whenever you map it to the joystick, you just say, you know, emulate this joystick button.
Apparently.
Yeah, but I don't have a joystick button for that. I have keyboard stuff, right? So whenever it actually just hits
the
command, which is identical to the way that TIE Fighter did it back in the day, right? You know, so it's like the bracket keys and the backslash and delete. It's that. So
we forgot to mention something earlier. James, we forgot to mention about James.
Oh, yeah. So our buddy James has passed away, unfortunately. I found out through Gamers with Jobs they were doing like a memorial night for him, and that's how I found out that he died, unfortunately. But he's been on the show a couple of times, you know, and we played Solar Empire with him, and
Yeah, he went by Jam3 online, and we knew him from some various forums. And we had him on the podcast a couple times. Really nice guy.
Oh, yeah. He was the best, man.
Really fun to just hang around with and game with. And he had what did he have? I know
he went in for like a minor-ish. I mean, there's no abdominal surgery that's truly minor. But, sure. You know, it was like go in and he had basically a knot in his small intestine, where it was kind of looped, and they wanted to just straighten that out because it was causing him digestive issues, and unfortunately, he had complications from that and ended up having his whole small intestine removed, and then he was looking for a donor, and he got a donor and apparently rejected it, and and there was a few months because I saw him online. I talked to him. I don't know. It was before Halloween, right? But then he had apparently been hospitalized, and I don't know how the tail end of things went. So, but apparently it was pretty quick. But what was this brings up a thing though that I had I'd posted about of when somebody passes away and Steam list, right? I found it kind of creepy, because I don't know if the family had the Steam account logged in so that his friends could talk to them or what the deal was, but he remains logged in, like always, right? And before it was like he was never logged in unless he was actually there. And that's how I knew, he was home. It's like, oh yeah, you're out of the hospital. And I'd always pounce on him and be like, dude, what's up? How you doing? And now it's like, whenever I look over there and I see that, I kind of jump like, oh, I want to talk to you. Oh wait. So I had to like unfriend him off of the thing, which also felt really awkward, right? Because it's that finality of, it's a thing, right?
That is a bit weird. We've never really
lost anybody out of our community.
We really haven't. And also, that does bring up an interesting point. How can your digital cell, your digital various facets of your digital life, know that you've passed on?
Do they
expect your wife or whatever, your husband, to go into all your Facebook and Steam and all that and Origin and whatever and tell them you're deceased?
Well, what else are you going to do? I mean, you have to – otherwise you'd have to put like a dead man switch, right? Like if I don't log into this for X amount of time, then close my account or whatever.
Maybe what there needs to be is a central thing where like –
there could be a service that notifies.
Yeah, exactly. People
don't think of that though because it's like, We're not old enough to really think about that kind of thing.
Well, as gamers, we are going to get old enough where we're all going to start having to start thinking that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's a thought, too. Like, think about Steam, and we're talking about our Steam accounts and stuff, right? So, let's say, like, if you or I had kids, right? And then
do we get
die.
Pass that on?
It's like, well, does the kid have to, like, log in as your account to access your library of stuff or what?
Yeah.
Because there's no way to transfer a library from one account to another, I don't think. But I would think, can you will it to them? I guess. I don't know. I mean, it's all these things.
I bet you money that is eventually going to be in someone's will.
I'm sure it has already been, right? But I'd have to talk to somebody there to find out what the actual scoop is.
I don't know. Like, what? Yeah, that's a good question. What happens with that? Oh, that got morose.
Yeah.
Sorry, folks. But we did say we wanted to say something about our friend.
Yeah, well, it's just, it's that sort of a thing, right? But the other stuff, though, like, as far as your family and what if they don't know your accounts, right?
Yeah, exactly. What
it's
happens
like
then?
Yeah, so it's kind of like I have thought about this, right? Like if something were to happen to me, I want to put like a book on the shelf that's just got a list. It's just like these are all of my accounts and the passwords in case anything should happen and you need to get into it, especially like for banking purposes and stuff.
Oh sure, yeah.
It's like anything that touches finances or my car insurance online, any of that stuff. I think you need to have some kind of written record of what that is that, you know, somebody else in the family can pick up. You can probably not put your porn collection or anything, right? Although, I think it is helpful to have a porn buddy, you know, like a friend that lives close, and if you die,
we'll
then they come into
your
house.
Your
and,
shit.
Yeah,
yeah,
come in and, like, wipe your hard drive. Yeah.
Well, you know, another way around, another way that Dayhawk and Dayhawk, I can't, his name is hard to read because it's bright green. Dayhawk says, add it to your will. That doesn't really solve the actual issue of how do you access all this. I guess what you could do is all these services can add a secondary contact.
Yeah, see, that would be okay.
Yeah, like, oh, if I haven't logged in for a while, you know, email my wife or email my girlfriend and say, what's up?
You know what would actually solve it? At least for Steam. If Steam took kind of a cue from Facebook, all right, where they said, what's your relationship to this person who's on your Steam list, right?
Well, what if they don't have Steam? What if that person, what if your girlfriend, like my girlfriend doesn't have Steam? You know,
but then she doesn't give a shit about your game collection. What's she going to do?
Right, but I mean, she might want to do something with that, or she might want to pass it on to someone that likes games, you know, or
well,
I don't
true.
Know.
But it's the thing, at that point, she doesn't have her own account, so it doesn't matter about transferring it, right? So, but if she had, like, power of attorney or whatever, because you're not married, so... she'd have to have some sort of power of attorney of it, but that would give her the ability to just assume ownership of it any damn way, right?
Right.
So
but
not
like, what if I didn't write down the logins? Is what I'm saying. So
you're done.
That's what I'm saying. If these services add a secondary like emergency contact, where like in 6 months this person hasn't done anything with any of his games, what's going on with him?
Well, did they reach out to you, or does it just say, hey, if this person contacts you, then they're acting in my stead or whatever. See?
The way I think of it is, like, for Steam, for example, you haven't logged in 6 months. You know, that's unusual. We're going to contact your secondary. We're going to send an email to your secondary contact and go, hey, what's up with this person?
Yeah, it's like, is Brian all right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And if they've passed on, you tell Steam that, and they can take it from there.
Yeah.
You know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
I think
there's other stuff too, like let's say your Facebook account, right?
Yeah, yeah. Isn't there a thing now where if you die on Facebook, it changes your Facebook profile to kind of?
I don't know about that, because James is still as it was, right? So,
well, I mean, it's just pretty sudden. I doubt his wife is taking care of his Facebook.
Well, yeah, I know, but it's the thing. You know, they've left it up, and there's a lot of traffic from friends and family and stuff. That's
that's normal. That's good.
Yeah, I mean that's cool, but it's the thing of with your online stuff, right? Is like, do we ever truly die online?
Yeah,
because the record of everything we ever did and said and pictures that we uploaded and all that shit is there forever, right? For
like
better or
happens,
worse.
Yeah. Like, what happens to Space Game Junkie when I die?
Yeah.
You know? Like I would like that site to continue somehow. You know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. We got very morbid there for a bit, folks. Maybe we should cut it on that.
Yeah. Okay.
That's probably a good thing. It's a Christmas show. It's a short week.
Oh yeah, that's true. It is a holiday.
It's a holiday.
So we should talk about taxes now.
Taxes.
We
yes.
Already had death. Let's have taxes.
Death. Are you going to be on Elite Dangerous more often? Am I going to see you? Are you going to? You got to make your way down to Lave, man. That's where all the shit is happening.
I cannot figure out what the hell I'm doing in that game. It's like I've got. I've got my cargo scanner. Not cargo scanner. My cargo holds are expanded.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And I've got my mining laser.
Yes.
So
mining
I think I'm in
it. Huh? Mining is a pain in the gut. Mining is a pain in the ass, right?
Yeah,
now.
But I figure, you know, if I find a place that actually, cool, I get to fight again. If I find a place where I can mine some stuff that is decent, like I'm gonna go around to a what does it want me to do? Defense of the blah blah blah. Okay, great.
Anyway.
Federation has a strong. Must defeat more of their ships. Right. Okay, whatever. Anyways, Yeah, so I've got the mining laser. I've expanded my cargo hold. I need to go to a place that is a refining joint, and then find some asteroids that are the right kind of metal, which I'm not sure how you do that. And that's what I was in the process of doing right before we started the show, was I was reading that super awesome strategy guide thing that they wrote.
Was that the fan written one?
No, it's actually written by them, I think. Because there's like a lot of developer forward on there, and they're talking about like this is our development thing and what we're thinking, and you know, we're not gonna have like, well, they were talking about wings at the beginning. And they're saying like, okay, well, and a wing is basically like a guild of a sort, right? From what they were talking. And they're like, this stuff's not gonna be in there when we ship. But
like a short-term guild, basically.
Well, it's not. It's not like a friend list or whatever. But it's like a group of people, right, that can get in there and get together and do whatever. But they said that you basically share risk and reward as a unit, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of a guild, right? But I don't know. Like, does the wing level up or? Does it let you share equipment and money?
Well, from what I understand, it's not going to be like a full-blown corporation like EVE, where you have like a set number of members and everything. What I've come to understand is that you have a bunch of buddies online. You want to go hunt bounty hunters. You form a wing, which is a temporary thing. And while you're all formed as a wing, your jump drive is slaved. Mm-hmm. And so you always jump into the same instance.
Yeah.
And you share bounties and such. So apparently that's how wings are. That's what I've read so far, how they're going to work. But it's not like a permanent corporation type of thing.
Okay.
Which I'm fine with. Which I am.
Yeah.
Which I am totally much better with. But anyway, yeah, you should still. There's some resource extraction sites down in the Lave area. You should basically. What you can do with that hauler.
See, if I can get there, right? That's the problem, is my fuel.
Well, here's the thing. What you can do is you can up. When I had hauler, I upgraded the frameshift drive. I can jump 24 light years in one go.
Oh, you could do that with a hauler, though?
Yeah.
Oh, how much was the frameshift drive?
I don't remember. It wasn't much because I've never had a lot of money. So, you basically. Basically upgrade your frameshift drive, and then you can eventually make it down there. Now, what I had to do is I had to find a system on the way and plot a course. I couldn't plot a course all the way to Lave.
Mm-hmm.
I had to like move the map to a certain, and you also have to let the map load. Like, it takes like 30 seconds to a minute to load all the routes you can possibly take.
Yeah,
you'll see the blue lines fill in moment by moment, and then you pick the one that's the furthest away. So what I did is I picked a system that had a station like 90 light years away, and then I went there. And then I stopped there, refueled, and then I plotted a new course for Lave. And it took about an hour to get down there. And that's where I found nearby a system where I got that 97,000 credit bounty today.
Oh, wow.
Which, holy shit. I am never not hunting for bounties in asteroid fields ever again. Oh my god, that's much,
that was pretty
so
nice,
much fun.
Huh?
Oh my god, it's so much fun. And you just fly around scanning everyone. Clean, clean, clean. Wanted. Pew, pew, pew. You know? And it's so exciting. And guys, I'm sorry about this, but I'm not going to really be playing anything else for a while.
It's kind of your thing now, huh?
I can't even bring myself to really play anything else. I can't. It's all I want to play. I haven't gotten Nicole into the act.
Yeah.
And people want her back.
Wow.
Which
so what was the deal? Because you said something about you had her on a stream last night. And
I had
was
her
she
on
actually
stream.
Playing the game or just like?
Well, here's the fun thing.
Was your co-pilot.
For a while, she was my co-pilot / backseat driver. But then people in the chat room were like, try to get her to dock. So I put her in the training thing and had her dock, and then I had her launch. And she actually, for a first-time pilot, didn't do horribly. I was really surprised. It's probably like the last 10 minutes of that video.
Yeah.
But she actually did all right. I was surprised. But now she's like, now that she knows the game a little bit, she's like, so are you still mostly harmless? Why don't you come back to me when you're a little better than mostly harmless? Mm. So she's already giving me shit about that, which is pretty funny. But yeah, it's just so fucking good.
Oh wow, this is a terrible mistake about to happen here.
I wish there was a way I could see how many hours I've put into it. You know, I wish there was a way I can see how many hours I put into Elite. But yeah, folks, that's pretty much what I'm going to be playing for the near future. So the site might be a little light on content unless all you want is Elite Dangerous streaming.
Who would want anything else, really?
That's pretty much what I'm going to be doing for a while is just streaming Elite Dangerous on Twitch here because it's just so good. So yeah, if you can make your way down to Lave, I will definitely see you down there.
Yeah, I'll try to figure out because I was trying to get to Seoul. Seoul is tough to get to.
It is. From where I was, it was about 70 light years.
Yeah.
I went down there the other day because I needed to go to the Empire to get some bounties, and it was on the way. And I got to tell you, Seoul is beautiful, but the funny thing is, like, you know all the space stations that in where we are, they're a little grungy.
Yeah.
In Seoul, they're fucking white. They're gleaming. They look really futuristic. They have palm trees.
Wow.
Palm trees.
It's like some Gundam.
And little biodomes. Like you can see little like parks under right between where the landing pads are. You see little biodomes with parks in them. It's like, holy shit, this is Seoul.
It's Elysium style.
It really is. I'm not even kidding. It really is. But there's also like if you look on the if you look on your list of navigational things, it says capital ship. What the fuck is this? You go there, it's this massive battle cruiser that's just sitting there, and you can fly around it. And
oh, cool. It's
gorgeous. So Seoul is worth visiting at least once if you can get your way down there. Like you said, you might have to do a multi-planned trip. Uh-huh. But if you get the right frame shift drive on that thing, your jump range could be – like on the Cobra I have right now, it's about 10 light years, 10-ish, 10-something. But you can get – I think on my hauler, I had 22 or 24 light years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So if you upgrade your frame shift drive and your thrusters especially, you can definitely make some big jumps. So you should definitely do that and then head down to Lave. That's where the fun is. So we're going to end – I think let's end this by asking folks in the chat room, if you can hear me, what would be the game you'd want for Christmas off your Steam wish list? Like, what would you want if it went on sale? Like, Jim, look at your Steam wish list. What would be the game you would really want to go on sale?
You know, I can't look right now because I have Captain Kirk shooting me in the face. So, you know. But, yeah, as far – I don't know, man. The stuff on my wish list that I want right now is stuff that's just not available yet. There's things that aren't out. But I stick crap on the wish list instead of just following it. Because I don't know, it's easier. The wish list thing is more handy.
Yeah,
right. It's on every page.
I do it because I don't know if you guys use istthereanydeal.com, but you can link it up to your wish list, and it'll check other sites for prices of stuff on your wish list, like GameSpy and all that shit or whatever.
Yeah,
and it's very handy. Cloud, yeah, Distant Worlds Universe is not on sale right now, and it's probably not going to be on sale.
It is actually on sale, if you can see.
No, it isn't. Oh, is it on
it's like $10 off.
Wait, is it on the Matrix? Hold on, is it on the Matrix Games holiday sale?
Oh, I don't know about that, but...
Well, Matrix is having a sale, and not on Steam, but on their site, but you get a Steam key if you buy... Hang on, if you buy their shit, sci-fi, here we go. Distant Worlds Universe, yeah, there we go. Okay, yeah, right now, Cloud, it is $50 if you buy it on the Matrix Games site, and then you get a Steam key with that. So it kind of is on sale.
Well, it's on a little sale. You're going to basically save the tax money.
It's on a bit of a sale. And it's not, but the thing is, that game is worth every penny.
Oh yeah, totally.
I mean, it's such a wonderful game, and you know, it's sad when I tell people that, and then they get it, and then they're like, I tried it didn't click with me, and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I mean, I guess it's probably not going to click with everyone, but when it does click with you, holy shit, there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
There's literally nothing like it.
I don't know, man. It's like, I want a game instead of controlling like a small thing somewhere. I almost play that game more as like, okay, I'm the emperor, and I just have my advisors come to me, and I tell them yes or no on things.
Yeah,
right?
You can totally do that.
Yeah, yeah, that's how I play it. I'm like, okay, I don't want the micro, I don't want the minutia. You know, it's like, let the fleets take care of themselves. But then I can be like, all right, go take that planet. Right?
Right.
So, yeah.
And I love how you can play it like that if you want to, or if you want to be the spy master, you can play it like that. Or if you want to be, you know, the fleet commander and building ships, you can do that.
They basically have a really strong AI. Then the game can play itself probably better than you can. So, therefore, let it. That's okay. It's fun to be a spectator to it. So it's like my interactive fish tank. Except it's spaceships instead of fish.
You know, I hate to admit it, but I'm kind of tempted to get that Command Modern Air Naval Operations game. That harpoon-looking monstrosity.
Is that the one that we saw when we were...
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Because it didn't look it didn't look very flashy then, but it looks better now.
It looks better now, and apparently it's got lots of content. Like, apparently it's got a fuck ton of content. And it's on sale...
that's another one, right? Where it's like it's $60 instead of $70.
No, dude, it's $80.
Oh, is it $80 on sale?
Or what? No, it's $50 on sale. Okay. That's why I'm tempted.
I was gonna say.
It's $50 on sale, $80.
I would want to see a demo of that, and I don't mean like have the developer show me a demo like what we got.
No, you
want to
play?
I want to go hands on with that thing and see if I care or not. You know, because the other thing... Oh, did I tell you, speaking of, whenever you buy the whole Sonalists naval pack thing, so you get, like, Sub-Command and Dangerous Waters and whatever, and there's that other game that's in there. It's a Jane's Fleet Command, I think it is.
Yeah. That's the Surface one.
Yeah.
I remember that, yeah.
Jane's Fleet Command was pretty good back in the day, right? And it kind of... They came out with another... game that was like Arctic something, but it wasn't as good.
Arctic Circle,
it wasn't as good. But Jane's Fleet Command is still pretty viable.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
And
this package is $5.99 for all of these games.
Yeah, yep. And there's a thing about the Sub-Commander games where it doesn't like 16-bit graphics, right? Because in Windows 8 you cannot run 16-bit. If you have Windows 7, you're all right. But if you got Windows 8, it's not happening. And I ran into that like with Klingon Academy and stuff. That was an extra bonus challenge to try to get that thing to run. However, I found that there was a wrapper DLL thing that somebody made for the sub games, and they play great. And I've been running the thing in like 1600 by 1200, and the graphics are pretty mint, and it's nice. So I would say if you don't have that Sub-Command,
it's $6 for those four games.
Yeah.
Holy guys, if you don't know what we're talking about, it's the complete naval combat pack. It includes these are all Jane's games. 688 High Hunter Killer, which is great. Sub-Command, also great. Fleet Command,
really showing its age though.
Yeah, it's the oldest one of the bunch. It's the oldest one of the bunch. Sub-Command and Dangerous Waters are fantastic, as is Fleet Command. Sub-Command and Dangerous Waters are much more focused, but Fleet Command is more of the surface stuff. They are all fantastic. They really are, and they've got such an amount of content in them. And can't you, like, download more campaigns for them and shit?
I am not aware. I'm not sure on that, but... But yeah, that's a thing that's nice about the Steam sales is when that kind of stuff gets super cheap.
That's true. I do love finding these little hidden sales. Like I have a whole list of stuff I'm waiting to buy on the last day.
Yeah. Did you ever hear or read that article? It was called The Long Tail. It was written in Wired magazine some years ago. But the guy was basically talking about distribution, you know, digital distribution versus shelf space and traditional retail, right? Because in traditional retail, you have to get whatever shelf space that you can and then get your product in, make your sales in the initial X number of days, and then you're done because you're off the shelf, you know?
Sure.
But with digital distribution, they call it the long tail because it's forever. You know, you will always have niche customers, right? And it's also a thing, speaking of niche, where it does, you don't have to have a product that has mass appeal to the mass market audience, because you can make it as a niche product because of the long tail, because your product will be around long enough that the people that are interested in it will eventually notice it. You know, you don't have just like 90 days to, everybody that's ever going to buy your game has to see it in the first 90 days, right? So, and that's a thing that Steam has altered for the positive. And I think the article was actually written toward Amazon, right? And talking about like books and other products, because really like that deals with physical things as well, right? So, it'd be like, you know, if I want to buy, you know, Christmas stuff off season, I can do my Christmas shopping in April if I want. So it's just, time,
you know what, Amazon,
time does not matter.
Do you know what Amazon does now? I didn't know they can do this. Hmm. If you buy a digital gift for someone, you can have it set up to be delivered in their email box on the day of whenever, like Christmas or their birthday.
I
didn't know that.
I had no idea.
I didn't know that. I heard about that when some friends bought some friends some digital stuff, and they set it up to go out on Christmas. And I'm like, what?
That's very interesting.
That's very clever of them.
Yeah.
That's why Amazon is the best, because they do clever shit like that.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You have to innovate, right?
So. Yeah, you have to offer lots of innovation and amazing customer service, and they really do succeed in that regard.
Yep.
But anyway, let's see. So, folks, if you hear this before Christmas, have a very merry Christmas. I'm sure I speak for Jim when I say we hope you get everything you want. We hope you spend the time with people you love and want to spend time with. Rather than
and even spend time with people that you don't want to have, you know, want to spend time with, because that makes you appreciate the people you do more.
You know what? That's true.
Or something. And if you can poop in their Christmas stocking when nobody's looking, you know, go ahead, because whatever.
Or dried up poop. They might think it's something holistic. Like, whoa, what is? Oh God.
You know, we had a tradition in my family because my mom was pretty funny, right? And so I bought her the South Park Mr. Hanky episode on DVD when she finally got around to getting a DVD player.
Howdy-ho!
Yeah. So love Mr. She I put this thing on and she's like, this is stupid. This is some dumbass cartoon. Why the hell are we watching this, right? And I did it like on Christmas Day, right?
Yeah.
So I got her this thing and I stuck it in and she was like, this is retarded. The dumbest thing ever. And then they get to the part where it's Mr. Hanky. Yeah, in the toilet bowl,
right.
and that completely changed her life. You know, it was like, oh wait, no, this is the greatest thing ever. So it became the family tradition to make a fudge log at Christmas that had peanuts in it. And that's right, mom was baking up Mr. Happy on the yearly.
That's great,
you know, charming, because that's how she rolled.
That is great. Well, in our case, we're just having Nicole's family over. No tradition, just lots of cleanup and mess afterwards.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to try and fit Elite Dangerous in there somewhere. So anyway, folks, we want to wish you a very happy holiday, whether it's Christmas or Hanukkah or – actually, today is the last day of Hanukkah, isn't it? Or yesterday was?
I don't know.
I think. We want to wish you a very happy
sister. She's the Jewy one in the family.
Well, we want to wish you a very happy whichever holiday it is for you guys. And I want to thank you for watching and for listening. And next week we're going to talk about what we're looking for and forward to in 2015. And maybe even we'll make some stupid-ass predictions. I'm not sure about that, but we'll try. So thanks a lot, guys. Thank you for listening and watching on the stream. And have a great holiday. Bye-bye.